Welcome to RV Talk Radio. Here we talk about RV living, RV lifestyles, and RV travel. We also celebrate the RV lifestyle that gives us the chance to do outdoor activities that we couldn't do in a normal lifestyle. So thanks for joining us. Grab yourself a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and let's talk about RVs. Well, hello everyone. This is Rob Scribner from RV Talk Radio, and it's a pleasure to be visiting with you again. I believe we're at episode 110. Holy moly. So last week we actually did kind of a live show with Kim Panda, and that was kind of fun, and we're going to be doing more of that in the future. We do have an interview coming up in our next episode. And because of timing and everything, I have this show in between the two. So we're looking forward to that because we'll try to do that at a pre-recorded live kind of type show. I think we're going to try to bring the folks in on Skype. And so that way you can see them at the same time. But we'll see. What the problem is with interviewing folks that are on the road is often they don't have the best internet. So that's just how it goes. So I also had the opportunity to have Derek on the show with us last week. And this week he's scheduled for something else. So I'm kind of, we'll bring him in when we can. He's got quite a schedule. He really, really enjoys doing the radio stuff, but he also has to make a living. So unlike some of the folks I make fun of out there that go out and do this RV thing, and you wonder how in the heck they make ends meet. However, I did come across some interesting information about some of the folks that are got YouTube channels out there, and some of them that are got good numbers to them, they can average from $1,000 to $5,000 a month if their channel's going good. So that would probably explain why you see so many of the videos that they pump out, whether good, bad, or indifferent. Their goal is to keep that flow of income from YouTube come in. So, and of course, with a little bit more greed and things like that, they may be selling T-shirts or writing books or making e-books or stickers and things like that. And if they're going to sustain a lifestyle like that, they need money. So that's how they do it. So, it would be nice to be able to do that, but it gets old. I found ourselves, well, Sherry and I both, when we were full-timing on the road, it was kind of neat. But after a while, you just start saying to yourself, is this it? It's like, I'm sitting in my RV, it's small, and I'm surrounded by people all the time, really close, and I don't have as much privacy as I like. So eventually Sherry and I said, this is fun and it's neat to travel, all that stuff, but we needed to call, someplace or have a base, and that's a good way to go. The other thing is some friends of ours that are come and visit down here every year, and they bring their fifth wheel down from Montana, and that gets old after a while, and their RV is a little bit smaller than ours, so they feel kind of cramped, and also when it starts warming up here, they either get forced to go home because their air conditioner can't handle the heat, and so this year they actually bought a park model. So it's just a single wide; it's not one of those ones with the Arizona room in it. And I believe it was like a 1987. They got a pretty good deal on it. And they got it for, I believe, around $10,000. And so, that's a lot cheaper than buying an RV. So if you enjoy coming down to Arizona and looking for a practical way to do it, check into these park models. Now, of course, you got the park models, but a lot of times you have to pay rent on the place that it's at. That's not true everywhere. There's actually places down here where you can actually buy the park model and the land. And that's a kind of a neat deal. So anyway, that's the big news around here is Arizona is starting to warm up. Well, if you guys were listening to our show last week, you would realize we did an interview with Kim Panda. And I found that quite interesting. You know, it's definitely a great option for possibly renting out your RV. But I'm still, you know, the more I put thought into it, the more it's like, I'm not sure if I really want somebody staying in our personal RV. However, you know, it's I wouldn't have a problem with possibly buying a halfway decent trailer, Class C, something practical, maybe a 30, you know, if it was a motorhome, 28 to 32 feet, something like that, and with the intention of just renting it out. And then my expectations would be a little different. I think I'd just maintain it as a piece of property where it's an investment and I've got to constantly keep it up for rental purposes. And I think I could live with that a little better than actually taking what, you know, because Sherry and I, our fifth wheel, we love it. When we get to it, it feels just like home. And it's, I'm not sure if I'd want someone with their kids running around. Things can get broken. You got to treat an RV a little different than a house. You can't be slamming doors and cupboards and you know, taking care of the black tanks and things like that. You know, someone else will not take care of it as good as you will yourself. So I'm really hesitant to, you know, still want to do anything with my own fifth wheel. I don't know. But it does sound like a great idea to, you know, maybe get a hold of a good little RV of some sort, and it could be a trailer, a fifth wheel, or a Class C, or a motorhome, and rent that puppy out. And sounds like you could, you know, get it to pay for itself quite easily if it's a halfway decent unit and it's popular. You know, I'm sure that there's a dark side to this thing, and I just don't know all of it yet, but I'm going to definitely research it. And and you know, using the Capanda is definitely a wonderful tool. I mean, it's just like being an Uber driver, you know, and you're using your own car and you're using your own stuff. You just got the connections, and plus they service you with the things you would need to do a rental like that, like insurance and things like that. And of course, they take about 20% of the income, so you got to keep that in mind. But for the services they offer you, it sounds like it's very much worth it. So I really enjoyed having the opportunity to do that interview. It definitely enlightened me. And I hope if you haven't heard the interview, it's episode 109. It's pretty good. I think it's enlightening. I highly recommend that you go to Camp Campanda, which is C-A-M and the word panda, PANDA.com, and go to the facts page and read over whether you want to rent or whether you want to be a renter. There's a lot to learn there. So before I get going any farther, I do want to make sure that I give a little bit of a shout out to one of our supporters. So here we go.
Ford's RV Refrigeration Training Center, a licensed school, has many objectives for only one product, the RV refrigerator. We educate others so they can provide a repair service in their area, repair their own refrigerator, or when they hear throw it away, buy a new one, they'll know the right questions to ask in order to know whether or not their technician has been properly educated. Since 1984, we have saved RV owners money, provided them the best warranty, and reduced our carbon footprint. We accomplish these objectives daily through our service and training programs. Military veterans can even use their GI Bill for our training program, which includes our customized tools and manuals. Visit RVRefrigeration.com to find free DIY repair videos and information on our service and training programs. As a thanks to Rob Scribner, we're offering his listeners a free 11-point RV refrigerator inspection and one free night of camping at our location in Benton, Kentucky. Go to RVRefrigeration.com to call and make an appointment. That's RVRefrigeration.com. Thanks for listening. Stay cool and GBYAY.
Yeah, I'm telling you, those guys are fantastic. They definitely got me out of a pickle when my refrigerator was acting up, and I didn't have to have it repaired, but they certainly gave me some great ideas of how to troubleshoot it. And back when Sherry and I were full-timing and traveling, We had trouble with our refrigerator, and thanks to some of their training videos, ideas, and things like that, what a great service that is. And of course, now you can actually get certified in repairing RV refrigeration through one of their through their certificate course. And they also support the GI Bill too. And what a great way to, if you're a hands-on kind of person and you want to make money on the road, I certainly think that would be an endless amount of work anywhere you go as far as RVing. Of course, the other thing that's out there is you can also get involved in RV inspection, and there's courses for that too. And what's kind of cool about that is they kind of help, while both companies help the people that get their certifications through them, will send work to them based on where they're at in the region. So yeah, you can't go wrong there. So it beats trying to do videos every day and trying to make your YouTube channel gigantic. So you can go out and make some real dough. So anyway, I'm very grateful to having Ford Refrigeration supporting us, and of course we're always tickled pink that you guys are supporting us too, and the channel and the podcast have been growing like crazy, and we appreciate that. So yeah, let's move on. So with the growth of the station and everything going crazy and stuff, I want to remind you that you can also hear RV Talk Radio on our regular internet radio station, which is Good Talk Radio. And we actually, each episode we make now goes up to Good Talk Radio. And there's three times a day, I believe, that RV Talk Radio plays. So you can actually listen to older episodes and, of course, the newer ones that just come out. So that's constantly being updated. Anytime we make an episode, it goes straight up to Good Talk Radio, which if you've never listened to internet radio, now some people enjoy talk radio and other people enjoy music. We have both. We have Good Talk Radio and we have Good Music Radio. And I can assure you, you'll love either one of them. And what's really neat about them is you can turn your cell phone basically into a radio station. One of the easiest ways is every radio station that is not pirated, is running its normal stuff, has to be licensed. So we use what's called Live 365. So if you wanted to go easy on yourself, you just go to Google Play and download Live 365 app, which is free, and download it. And then all you have to do is just search for the radio station you're looking for, like Good Talk Radio, Good Music Radio. And they show up and just hit that as a favorite. And so you can go use a radio station anytime you want. As long as your cell phone is getting connection, then you're getting connection to us. So there's times I'm sure you enjoy hearing the talk radio. Some people really enjoy that. And other times you just want to hear really good music. And I can assure you, you'll like the music we have on Good Music Radio. And we expanded so much. We've got Arizona Talk Radio and Good Old Radio. And so to make it even easier, you can go to Cutting Edge Radio Network, and it actually shows all the radio stations we have. And they keep us busy, and that kind of helps make everything more practical and more sustainable to have it in a format like this. So I do urge you, if you get the chance, to please go visit our radio stations. You can also, the podcast, just a real simple program you can get for free. It's called Podcast Addict. And that's free. Just go to Google Play, type in Podcast Addict. And I kind of like that one. Kind of works really well. But once again, once you got it on there, you just go into the search section, make sure it's searching iTunes, and you can find all of our podcasts there. We have Arizona Talk Radio. We have RV Talk Radio, of course. We have Good Old Radio. If you like vintage radio shows from the good old days of the 30s, 40s, and 50s. we actually upload a new show once a week, if not more. So there's quite an inventory in there of some really good old shows like The Lone Ranger or Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel, just on and on. Orson Welles just goes on and on. So, yeah, you just, all this stuff is free, absolutely free. So, yeah. And the other thing, if you happen to know a person with a product or service that's interested in advertising with us, just like, you know, the Ford Refrigeration does, you know, give us a holler. If they're not RV-oriented and they want to be even more expanded out, obviously we have the other channels where we got Arizona Talk Radio, and of course the big channels of Good Talk Radio and Good Music Radio. And I have a cat talking to me. It must be time to, like, hey, Dad, my dish is empty. I better go check it out. So one of the things I do want to bring up that I keep noticing on all the different radio channels is, RV channels, is every single one of them talk about internet. And so, it's getting to a point, it's like, I think, where does the RV folks out there ever get the idea that how critical it is to have decent internet at your location, because even if you're not making videos or something like that, of course the people making videos, they're always upset about the internet connection. And then those that get the air cards and things like that, you're talking about some really good, it costs a lot of money for that stuff. So like the air card Sherry and I had, we were paying like $110 for it now, and it gave us like 30 gigs of data. And it just gets totally ridiculous about the cost. And so it's definitely not an economical thing to do if you have to have internet when you're traveling. But, even nowadays, it's like at least you want to be able to browse the internet or be able to play YouTube or play Netflix or something like that. I find it so amazing how many RV parks are still not making that a priority. Of course, you know, there's cost involved, but, you know, obviously if we've got to have it, then you got to pass it along in our monthly rates. But, I don't know what to say about that other than it's getting to be more and more an issue in almost every channel you listen to. All of them are always talking about good or bad internet or what they have to do to go upload a video or something like that. But I'm not just even, you know, not everybody's making videos. But it still comes down to YouTube channels, what you want to watch maybe to fix something. A lot of people spend their evenings listening, watching Netflix or Amazon Prime. And you need the bandwidth to be able to watch those shows. So anyway, I really hope that RV parks continue to improve their internet functionality and realize that that's kind of a selling feature on RV parks. And if you don't have it, the word gets out and it affects your bottom line. So RV parks, if you're listening, the Wi-Fi is a high priority. Even if you have to bring it in, you may have to pass it along to the people that stay at your RV park. But all in all, it'll be happier campers. So I still find it very amazing how many misconceptions there are about Arizona, and in some facts too. So one of the interesting things is I always get questions about the critters down here, and at least where we live, very don't see critters very often. So, however, this morning my wife found a coyote in our front yard. So if that's any indication, we're kind of towards the edge of Arizona, getting closer to the desert area. So, yeah, there's the closer you get to the edges, the more you probably see critters. But because of the golf courses and stuff like that, we have the coyotes kind of cruising through the neighborhoods, kind of passing through the golf course areas. So you do want to be careful with your cat or small dog. It's been said that, the coyotes in some neighborhoods will literally come into people's yards and attack their dogs or their cats. If you're out like towards Fountain Hills and stuff, that's really getting close to the desert or open range. They've actually had trouble with bobcats. So, but the other critters everybody asks about is, of course, the rattlesnakes, scorpions, and, of course, cockroaches, things like that. And termites is an issue you got to be kind of careful of, too. I've seen none of those here. However, I actually wanted to see a rattlesnake, so I actually went out to the Indian reservation out by Fort McDowell and cruised some back roads and literally found one crossing this, you know, crossing a road, not a busy road at all. And it was kind of great because I wanted to get a picture of one, but I was scared to death of snakes anyway. So it was a great opportunity. He was crossing, taking his time, enjoying the warm concrete. And so we just kind of drove around, stopped right in the middle of the road, no traffic at all. And it was a back road and got some great photography of one without having to get out of the car. So I was really happy about that. When I lived in Chandler like 7 or 8 years ago, we would see the cockroaches once in a while, you know, cruising along the concrete walls and stuff like that. It really depends on the neighborhood. Like Tempe, I hear that they see a lot more scorpions. So, yeah, it just kind of depends where you're at and the upkeep of the neighborhoods and stuff like that. But my particular area, no scorpions. The biggest thing that's really frustrating here is the little sugar ants. They're small, really teeny little ants. And so it's a constant battle when they show up. If we put down just a little bit of this kind of crystallite type stuff, they disappear the next day. But they can be quite irritating. And if they ever get into your house, that's a pain in the neck. They're really hard to get rid of. And they're really a pain in the neck on RVs. Those little sugar ants, if they discover a way into your RV, and if they have something that looks good or yummy to them, they will invade you. Something fierce. I did once over in Fort McDowell have what's called a jumping spider. They're about a size of a silver dollar, get into our RV. Don't know how he got in there, but they're not poisonous or anything, but they're pretty big. And it was a little bit weird catching him because, you know, once I grabbed him in a paper towel, I was like, okay, there's a hunk of meat in here. It was a serious spider, but out at Fort McDowell, I've also heard people seeing the tarantulas moving around during what they call mating season. They're harmless. They're just kind of cruising around. They want nothing to do with you. But as far as in the household areas and stuff, you know, unless you're on the edges of the desert, you might see some of those critters. But, you know, and you know, every area's got some kind of irritating thing. I think another thing they have in Arizona you got to be careful of, especially if you're hiking or something like that, is bee swarms, where literally a queen bee will relocate to another location and all the bees follow, and you don't want to be in the way because they are kind of cranky. And so there's been weird once in a while where people have been hurt, stung several times because of what they call bee swarms, or going from one point to another. And while they're doing that, you know, they're following, it'll be in a big batch, and they'll hit a tree and this, you know, be a big blob of them and stuff until they find a new location. I guess that's kind of how it works. But so, yeah, you want to kind of look out for that too, especially if you're like hiking Camelback Mountain or stuff like that, where the, you know, or these, some of these trails we have, lots of places go hiking. So, yeah, the critters are here, but you almost have to go look for them. You almost have to go find them. But in some cases, now there was a report on the news the other day that in some towns, we haven't heard it or anything around here, where they have trouble with rats. And they're actually getting into the sewer system and actually can go from house to house to house just through the sewer system. I mean, literally up through your toilet if they had to. So, but, you know, these are the same kind of critters you'd see in other states, too. Just you got to keep up your yard. Don't leave things laying in the yard. Like we do have black widow spiders. If I had those in Central Oregon too, but you know, you can almost guarantee where you see them, it'd be a dark and moisture kind of area is ideal for them. They love that kind of area. So if you created something like that in your yard, most likely you might find one there. So once again, they're harmless. Well, they're not harmless, but if you just don't create the conditions for them to live, they won't show up. So now for happy little critters around here, we see I get little baby cottontails. Sherry feeds them every night with carrots. We get what's called the lovebirds. I told you about that. They're kind of the birds that got released from a, they're actually a canary. They're native to actually Africa. Anyway, so they got loose here, and they're only in certain areas of Phoenix, which happened to be our area, in Mesa. And, yeah, they're a really cool-looking bird, but they look like little canaries or almost like a parrot. And they're thriving here, and they actually live in the holes that are in the sororal cactuses. And let's see, lots of kinds, all kinds of birds, lots of hummingbirds, but yeah. And, you know, we've got tons of flowers, and so that keeps the bees busy. And lots, you know, it's amazing how much life there is in the desert. So, yeah, I just thought I'd kind of discuss to you my notes, because we, on Outdoor Travel Channel, we actually make videos of living in Arizona. And I swear, every video we do, we always get questions about the critters. And they're not as bad as you think. And really, you have control of the situation. If you want those kind of critters in your yard, they'll show up. They love an invite. But yeah, just food for thought. If you come down here, if you're staying in the RV parks in the outskirts of Phoenix and Arizona cities, you're going to see critters. But the more inland you get, you know, some stuff will show up. But once again, you just do some preventative measures and you won't have any problems. So there you go. Well, I want to thank everybody that's been sending me notes and stuff, and without saying names or anything like that, but, you know, I've gotten a lot of stuff on millennials lately, and so it's just driving me crazy. So one of the things that was sent to me was millennials blaming baby boomers for their reasons for not wanting to buy cars and have mortgages and stuff like that is because baby boomers created an atmosphere that of debt, and so it's the baby boomers' fault. And I it's like I don't recall really blaming anything on my mom and dad when certain things in the economy I didn't like, but I don't know. Is it really like that out there? Are the millennials really like this? Like, for example, cry rooms. So now, many colleges, I guess Google's already got one, there's now cry rooms for people to go into and cry? My first question would be, if I was a business owner, is do they cry on their own time, or do they, you know, are they crying on my time where I'm paying them? And I know it sounds heartless, but if you owned a business, you would be asking the same question. Is it really so bad that exams are so stressful now that we need cry rooms? And then safe spaces. It's like, okay. I guess that would explain some of these people that live in vans and do e-bagging and stuff like that. Their RVs, their safe space. Maybe that's it. I'm just trying to figure it all out. So, I don't know. It's just, I could swear that things are just getting a little more berserk out there. Just like, you know, labeling and stuff like that. I mean, even us in the RV industry are doing it, you know. I find myself talking about the different labels out there. And you know, really when it comes down to it, we try to generalize everything as this is RVing and this is RV lifestyle. And although they're all different, we just try to point them all out. So I think the biggest thing I've been coming across lately is a little bit more practical kind of RVing people I've met. Typically, they're now, you know, already have a home or something like that. Some people will go traveling for a year or two and then say that's enough and then go back to their homes just to say that they had the chance to do it in their lifetime. And then I'm seeing others that are looking at their RVs as like a vacation home, kind of like what me and Sherry do, where they'll put their RV in a location and leave it there and then go use it in that location where it's already set up. And then the last thing I've been seeing a lot lately is people buying park models. And that's not a bad way to go, especially if you're like trying to get out of cold regions and trying to get down here like Arizona. Having one of those park models already set up, they do have a few more benefits of being more homey than, say, an RV. And I think have a little bit more longevity to them. But yeah, so there's so many different lifestyles out there. But I sure hope they're not using their RVs for cry rooms or safe spaces. It's like, I don't know. I remember trying to go through life trying to become tougher and stronger. And there's lots of times where my wife expected me to be the strong one, where she couldn't, you know, like I remember her daughter coming home once and hit her head and bleeding all over. My wife would turn purple. It's like, okay, that was no time for me to cry, and it sure was no time for me to go run in a safe space. It was take care of my daughter and get everybody under control and the wife calmed down, and I guess I had to be a little manly. But can't really do that in the Boy Scouts anymore either, can we? So I'm confused. If girls want to join the Boy Scouts, then why is there Girl Scouts? I'm confused. Maybe they need to man up the Girl Scouts and leave the Boy Scouts alone and just let Boy Scouts be Boy Scouts. It's like, come on, this is just getting way out of hand. But I don't know, it's just my opinion, but I think things are getting a little goofy out there, don't you think, guys? Well, good old summer's showing up here pretty quick, and you know what that means. Break out the old RVs and check her out. So yeah, make sure, you know, before you get going, check your batteries out. Make sure they have water. You know, just do some general kind of things. You know, just check for water leaks and all those kind of things that you should be doing. Just get off to a good start. But the other thing that's, you know, becoming a real problem out there is you know, RVing is getting more popular and more popular. And so it's getting to a point you need to start thinking way ahead of where you want to stay. So, yeah, being spontaneous just doesn't cut it anymore, especially if you're going towards the coast. Like if you're in Washington, Oregon, California, and even if you got a 1,000 Trails membership or any of those things, you need to call sometimes months in advance to get in a spot. So if you can, especially you weekend warriors, and you have plans for July and August stuff, you better get on the phone now. You may be too late now, but it's time to start. Unfortunately, it's just getting more crowded and more populated, and I don't see a whole lot of new RV parks changing. I did notice up in Anacortes, they changed their policy on RVs now where you can stay longer and stuff, which is kind of cool. You know, casinos are not a bad spot to actually think about, unless you go and play every day. But casinos are great because, you know, a lot of them usually have really good restaurants and stuff. But, you know, so if your regular camping places are not available, there's, you know, check the casinos out. Sometimes they got RV parking. And a lot of those are close to some of the places you like to go in, the, like over in Oregon, I think there's a couple of casinos that have some really great RV parks. Seven Feathers is a good one. But if you want to get closer to the beach, obviously you want to go to some of the other ones. But yeah, I mean, it's an alternative because, I don't know, it's just, unfortunately, I mean, the good and bad is good as, you know, the RV industry is booming. Bad thing is, you know, it's harder and longer to get your RV serviced and definitely harder to get into RV parks. That's the downside, but yeah. Anyway, it's I kind of hate that. Just, you know, I'm from the days of when I lived in Washington, we could just pack up the car and go to the beach and find a campsite. First come, first serve. Those days are long, long gone. So yeah, start planning ahead. Check your RV up. Maybe get it serviced or do some of your own servicing. Check the oil. If it's a motorhome, check your oils and check your batteries and all those common things. Make sure your tires are good. Get off to a good start before you start heading out. It's nothing worse than getting into the season and something stupid happens to your RV and spoils the whole trip. So yeah. Of course, if you haven't been in your RV for a while, you better make sure no one's moved into it. The other thing that's really important I found is for those that have refrigerators, if you didn't cover up your ducts or breathing areas, you know, you better check in there, make sure no squirrel or mouse got in there and made a nest or anything like that. That's the first source of a good fire. But, you know, just open them up, get a flashlight, look up in there. If you think something's got in there, maybe just take one of those yard blowers and blow it out and see if, you know, make sure they didn't make a nest or anything. Because you do, if you're using an RV refrigerator, you know, they either work by electric or they can work by propane. So there is fire back there. So that's a disaster waiting to happen. So if you haven't inspected your vents before you go on any trips, it might be a good idea. I mean, it's a pain in the neck, but it will be a worse thing to cause a fire in there. And RVs just don't do well in fire. That's all there is to it. And, you know, having good tires and stuff, it's definitely, if you're using original tires from an RV that's been around a while, you could really spoil your trip. I've had tires blow before. Not only do the tires disintegrate, they damage the RV when they come apart. So it's not fun. Not fun at all. So, guys, if you're getting ready to hit the road and this is the season for you, of course, you know, the season's kind of like almost over here in Arizona. It's getting too hot. But I tell you one thing, if you brought an RV down here to Arizona starting in May, you'll have no problem getting an RV space. The only problem you may have is trying to keep your RV cool. And by the way, when I was down here, when we lived here in the summer in our RV, you know, I have two air conditioners in my fifth wheel. I literally brought in a third one, a portable, and piped it out the window. And I liked it because it worked off of 110. So it's what I liked about it is if, you know, once in a while we'd have brownouts and stuff, I could run that air conditioner on my generator if I had to. So, and of course I had a pet in the RV and it's like, oh my gosh, if one of my air conditioners went out, you know, that'd kill my cat or dog. So having that third air conditioner really helped and helped keep the wear and tear down on my major AC units on the roof. And so if you come down here, you know, you might want to have a portable air conditioner and you'll have to pipe it out one of your windows. And it's worth it. But, I mean, you can come down here and enjoy Arizona and never have to fight for a space because everybody's gone home because the snowbirds go home. And we have lots of RV parks down here. Now, if you go into a place like Cottonwood or anything up by the Sedona area, that's a different story. It's you could wait a month or two before you could get in there, and I think one of them's 1,000 Trails, and there's a 2 or 3 month wait in some of those places. They're very popular, and it's cooler up there, so that's not the same scenario as we have here in Arizona, but yep, season's here. Time to prepare. Do a little bit of pre-screening and check your RV. Make sure it's safe and ready to hit the road. Check your air pressure in your tires, all those kind of things. And it's like, I know it's a pain and it's hard, but it's better to do it now. And if you have a generator, check the oil in the generator and all those kind of things, and you'll have a much better season, I promise you. So I was watching a video just today, actually, and it was done by Herbert's Travels, I believe. And he was doing some skits about some rude and things that really irritate people. And there was some good stuff, but I want to go back and kind of remember a few things that was irritating to a weekend warrior coming across people that were full-timers. And these are things that happened to me, actually. So it's so funny. It's like, you know, once again, we all, you know, watch these videos and you see a full-timer's perspective on things. Well, this time, let's take a weekend warrior and have a look at what it's like to be next to someone who's a full-timer. Now, this one's happened to me several times, but sometimes full-timers in certain RV parks act like they're the RV police. And they'll come up and act like they run the place and all that stuff. And sometimes, like, I remember one time I was in a in-lot. It was wooded. And I had a cinder in the grass in my area without a leash on. And out of the blue, a guy comes walking up to me and says, you know, you need to have a leash on that dog. And I said, I do have a leash on this dog. And I explained what it was. And it was an electronic leash. And I was training her to stay within a 10-foot radius of us. And if she did, she got zapped. And the guy goes, well, that's not good enough. And I said, okay, tell you what. I'll put Cinder on a leash and I'll call her. And let's put this around your neck. And let me see how thrilled you are to leave the grass. Cinder was on a, I think, so it was an example of somebody assuming he knew what was going on and decided to be a policeman to someone who was, in a sense, just a weekend warrior at the time, and it backfired on him. And I've come across that a couple of times back in the days where I used to go up to Squim, and I used to take our boat up there, and we kept our RV up for a fishing season. And there was an old guy that was just terrorizing the heck out of us because I think I parked funny or something, and it was, you know, just for the weekend, and because I had a really big truck and it stuck out a little bit or something, and he was just, oh my God, it was something like, you know, if you have an issue, go to the RV manager, and they were quite aware of my situation, knew that we were just there for the weekends and we went home. This guy was there full time. And I even went to the office and said, I'm getting a complaint against this. And they said, oh yeah, that's Bob or something. And he gets a little hostile with people. And it's like, you know, I'm just here for the weekend. I really don't want to put up with someone like that. And, another one that really bothers me is, the ones that have RVers with fences around their RV with like multiple dogs, yappy dogs. And it's like, are you kidding me? It's like, you know, I appreciate people that take care of dogs and get shelter dogs and all that stuff. But when you walk by someone's place, minding your own business or walking your dog by them, and you have like five yapping little dogs going nuts, and it's like, all you can think of is like, I want to walk faster. And it's like, are they living there full time where it's their, you know, it's their house or something? Or is it an RV park for people to go for recreation? And it's like, you know, one, two dogs under control, should be on leashes anyway, not little fences. And most RV parks don't even like those anyway. I mean, for God's sakes, where does it stop? It just gets out of control. These full-timers, a lot of times, they get kind of feel like they hold possession in that RV park, and it can actually make up some of their own rules, and it's ridiculous. Another thing I've noticed with full-timers that have been in like an area for a long period of time, and I'm talking maybe even, you know, more than just a snowbird, that they look like, you know, they say, you know, most of us are kind of minimalist anyway, but you go to one of their sites and it looks like they brought their whole house with them. There's like boxes and boxes of stuff under their RV, stuff in the back, these things that are, some of them bring full-blown lawn furniture, the whole works, and you go, why are you even here if you're bringing your house with you? It's like totally ridiculous. And I think the other thing gets really frustrating is like, it seems like every RV park's got to have some guy with a Harley that is louder than a Dickens, which is okay until they open, you know, fire it up at 6 o'clock in the morning when you're still asleep. It gets a little irritating, or very late at night coming back, and then they, you know, they don't just kind of putter in it. They got to rev it a few times before they shut it off at, you know, 1 o'clock at night. And it's like, seriously? I don't know why some of those RVers that are there for long periods of time get this feeling like it's my place, it's my property. And it's like, no, it's not. It's you're renting it just like I am. And, oh my God. And it seems like the full-timers are the ones that bend the laws all the time, whether it's too many dogs, fences around their places, too much junk, or building fires when they shouldn't be. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they'll have little fire things and they'll go with the propane, and you can do that in some places, but a lot of them will still use wood, and it's still against the law, and it still can cause a fire. Do you really, really have to have a fire that bad, for God's sakes? And then another time I was at, I think it was the Eagle View over by Fort McDowell. You know, you meet people all the time, and you kind of tell them what's going on, and you talk about things. And I think I mentioned some lady, I had no idea who she was, running around with some dog, telling and asking about, you know, how we got there and all that, and just like we asked them to and stuff. And we mentioned, yeah, and we bought a house, and we'll be closing it here in a month and a half or so, and so we're kind of excited. But, you know, we've been at that one RV park for over a year. Anyway, but I didn't tell the office because I didn't want to cause any issues with the lease and all that kind of stuff. So I kept it to myself. Well, finally, a month and a half later, when we got close to getting ready to check out, the lady said she already knew that we bought a house and we were getting ready to leave our space, because 4 to 5 people asked for our space in advance as soon as we moved out. And it's like, oh my God. So apparently full-timers, or people with long times of stays, are really good gossipers too. I mean, I've analyzed that over and over, and I believe I only told like one little gal with a dog that was maybe a few spaces down, didn't even really make a big deal about it, just saying that, yeah, eventually we'll be heading out because we bought our house and we're gonna be moving pretty soon. And oh my God, she must have told like 20 people. So, you know, the videos I keep seeing is like, I watched on Herbert's Travels, he was doing a list on things that irritate, or etiquette, basically, and they're true etiquettes. And one of them was walking through other people's sites. Oh my God, I saw that. I've seen that so many times. The only way that I'd walk through someone else's site is if they were there and I asked for their permission. Otherwise, I can walk around. Not picking up after your pets. Oh my, I don't know why people to this day don't realize if you're going to own a pet, you need to be responsible for them. Leaving garbage around your RV place. And you know, like down here in Arizona, we constantly get these little wind gusts and things like that. So sure enough, you come in the next morning, it's like, you got garbage in your RV space. And it's like, where did this come from? And it's because people just lay things around and they're not being responsible. And you know, I heard about the fires, and there's people that always push the buttons on or push the limits on whether they can build fires, propane or not, or you know, using real wood. I've never had this happen, but Herbert's Travel says a friend of his had it happen where someone was used their stuff. Like, I've never seen that happen before, but I guess he was saying someone in a laundromat took somebody else's soap because they didn't have any and needed some to do their laundry without asking. And it's like, okay. I believe it's true because people are nuts. Keeping your dog on a leash. Now, a lot of people, you know, will say, well, I have a dog that stays under control. And his point was, that's great. And you may have a great dog and all that stuff, but some people keep their dogs on a leash because they're not trustworthy. And if your dog's la-di-dying around and now runs up to a dog that isn't under control, it doesn't like to be approached, your dog could seriously get hurt, not to mention the person that's holding that leash. You could be setting yourself up for a great lawsuit. And there's nothing more irritating than someone's pet running in the middle of your little space you do have in your RV park, especially when you're cooking or something. It's like people use leashes. There is places you can go where you don't need leashes, but in an RV park, always keep your pet on a leash. And no, I don't buy into the little fences that you guys have in the front of your RVs. It's distasteful. It's not appropriate. And if you need to run a dog zoo or a shelter, go buy a house and have property where you could do it appropriately, but not in an RV park. And then the last thing I think he was showing up is people playing loud music, and it can be any age. I had the guy who was like 70, 75, all by himself playing his music incredibly loud. Luckily, he kind of stopped doing it by dinner, by late evening. But it was still like, really? I could swear I'm next door to some teenagers or something. And it's like, it was, but you know, I don't know, but yeah, people are amazing sometimes. But anyway, enough on that. I wanted to talk about etiquette a little bit, but it's a two-way street. It's not just the full-timers, and it's not just the weekend warriors that might be partying and making noise. It's a lot of times it can be the full-timers get kind of stuck in their ways. And it goes two ways, but etiquette, whether you're a weekend warrior or you're a full-timer or semi-part-time or snowbird, please be aware of what you're doing to other people because you are in an RV park and you are parked close to each other. Well, guys, we're getting to the end of the show, and I want to appreciate you for listening to RV Talk Radio. I want to remind you, you can listen to our podcast from RV Talk Radio, or you can catch our show played 2 to 3 times a day, different episodes, of course, on Good Talk Radio. That's goodtalkradio.com. And remember, we have this in the podcast format, and you can pull it up on, we're listed everywhere. And don't forget, you can also get the YouTube version of this. No matter what you do, we appreciate if you'd share our shows and tell people about us. And please leave comments, good, bad, or indifferent. Just be professional. And, we appreciate that. Next week, we're trying to get Dan and Jen Nevada is the name of their channel. In fact, I just talked to them today. They're excited to do the show. We're excited to have them. We were going to try to do Skype, but I think it's going to end up being a phone interview just because of technicalities of the internet connection that they have at their location. But we're very excited to have them on our next show. So in episode, I believe, 110 or 111, I think it's going to be. What's this? This is 110. So 111 is where we're going to interview those two. And we're really looking forward to it. They seem like really nice people. And and I'm sure we'll learn a lot from them. So until then, I want to wish everybody safe travels out there. I I'm so grateful for the great feedback and the growth of our channel and the growth of this show and the whole works. And it was really fun to do Cam Panda last week. That was a great show. And anyway, yeah, so if you got a product or service and you're interested in being interviewed or like to advertise on our show, let us know. We'd love to have you. So once again, I'm Rob Scribner. Thanks for listening to RV Talk Radio, and we'll talk to you next week. Be safe. Bye now. Hey, thanks for listening to RV Talk Radio. Please take the time to subscribe, like, and share our videos all over the whole wide world. We'd really appreciate it. See you next time. Bye.